So good morning to everybody in the Zendo. Hello to everybody online. It's good to see you. And so Jocko and I are back from vacation. And here we go. And also I'd like to thank everybody who's given lectures and everybody who will give lectures in the future for the rest of the year. Some great lectures. I've enjoyed listening to them, so thank you very much. And here we go. So, I'm going to talk about A Fascicle by Dogen. Wow, what a surprise. This one's called Enmyo, and it means suchness. So, I'm going to start talking about that. So, the title of Enmyo, and it's spelled I-N-M-O, means suchness or thusness. So, you know, in Zen speak, we would just say things as they are, things just as they are. Now, in Japanese, another word for this is nyoze. So, nyoze is kind of an interesting word. Nyoze translates as thus, or thusness, or like this, our reality is like this. And I would say that it captures this essence of what Dogen's teachings are about. Dogen's teachings are about pointing to our life and reality's presencing as our life, as this person, as our personhood in relationship to all being. So this notion of just this is talking about ourselves. It's talking about what is outside of us. It's talking about just all of this. And that is the us, them, it, they, me of just reality itself. So that is the meaning of nyoze. This characteristic of, to say just this, these characteristics are called actually the four marks of existence, and they are impermanence, no self, suffering, and nirvana. Impermanence, no self, suffering, and nirvana. And I would say that nirvana is how we transform our experience of suffering. And I want to talk about that a little later on in this talk. So the other meaning of nyoze, which I think is interesting, is it is, the meaning is something like without a doubt. So nyoze is used when Ananda says at the beginning of a sermon, when the Buddha gave sermons in the Pali Canon, what we understand are the Buddha's, actually Shakyamuni Buddha's actual teachings, Ananda would say, thus I have heard, but the word the thus here is nyoze. So we tend to think that means something like, well, okay, thus in the sense that I was there and I heard this thing. But the thus in nyoze is without a doubt, these teachings, what I heard, without a doubt, the teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha are true. So this without a doubt is this faith that we have in the Dharma, nyoze. So when Shakyamuni said, what he had to say about the Dharma is without a doubt. So that's part of this, an informal way, and I can't tell you grammatically in Japanese exactly how this works, but in an informal way of saying inyo, or suchness. So here are the opening lines of this fascicle. I've edited a little bit. So great master Hongzhe addressed the assembly saying, if you want to get such a thing, you should be such a person. Since you are such a person, why worry about such a thing? Okay? He said, if you want to get such a thing, so such here is in, well, if you want to get such a thing, you should be such a person. Since you are such a person, why worry about such a thing? So in plain speak, I would say this is something like, this is, if you want to get or to cultivate suchness or understanding the meaning of things as they are, then you should be a suchness, things as they are, person. Since you already suchness, or since you are already suchness, or things as they are person, since you are already that person, why worry about becoming suchness or that person? Because you are a person as things as they are already. So why worry about it? So, okay. Right? That, I'm sure that clarified the whole meaning of you, of it for you. So now, here's what Dogen has to say about this, which I know will clarify for you, this text. Dogen said, the state of this unsurpassed Bodhi, so Bodhi is wisdom about suchness or awakening, the state of this unsurpassed Bodhi is such that even all the worlds in the 10 directions are but a bit of unsurpassed Bodhi. Bodhi must exceed all the worlds. We too are all the implements in all those worlds in the 10 directions. How do we know it is such? We know it is so because our bodies and minds both appear in all the worlds without being ourselves. So let me read that to you again. Dogen said, the state of this unsurpassed Bodhi is such that even all the worlds in the 10 directions are but a bit of unsurpassed Bodhi. So each thing is manifesting Bodhi. And then he says, Bodhi must exceed all the worlds. We too are all the implements in all those worlds in the 10 directions. So we're not excluded from this Bodhi. How do we know it is such? Or how do we know, Nyoze, right? How do we know without a doubt? We know it is so because our bodies and minds both appear in all the worlds without being ourselves. That's a really interesting comment. We know it's so because our bodies and minds appear in all the worlds without being ourselves. Okay, so I think this last line bears some looking into. So I think the last line, we know it is so because our bodies and minds both appear in all the worlds without being ourselves, is a statement that requires faith. Because we have to entertain that it is true because we are not separate from all of reality's functioning. You guys have heard this from me before. We are not separate from all of reality's functioning. This functioning is Buddha, Buddha mind, Bodhi, Buddha nature, Inmo, Nyoze. This is true in every dimension of this universe, including ourselves and others. Even the folks we don't like are the things that concern us. So, furthermore, we can know this because we are the nature of no inherently existing self, which means we become part of the causal nexus of reality's functioning. Okay? So the point of this is here, what I'm saying is that when he says, our bodies and minds appear in all the worlds without being ourselves, I think what he's talking about here is this nature of no inherently existing self, which means that we are always part of this causal nexus of reality's functioning. So it means that this body-mind, this particularity that you associate as the self, it is still a non-inherently existing self, which means that we are always in this causal nexus, but not probably in all likelihood in the sense that we think of ourself as being a self. So you can talk about that and saying, well, you know, it's like when our body is buried, we become part of the earth and we nurture the soil, or we become, you know, we're part of the essence of the sun, or we talk about the stars and how the Big Bang, and we all have all part of that carbon in our bodies, et cetera, et cetera. That kind of thing. So this is this no inherently existing self, which is part of this causal nexus of reality's functioning. So that means that, from this position of understanding the nature of what Buddha is, that we are Buddha. So this is a characteristic of when we talk about, we say no self, no inherently existing self. Okay, but how are we to understand this in our practice? What does this mean exactly? Okay, so Hongzhe and Dogen are asking us to believe Nyoze. I have heard without a doubt that this is true, that we are all suchness, inmo, and that because this is so, why worry? Why worry about such a thing? Is the question that's posed. So I would say this, he is not saying to us, don't worry about realization. He's saying, rather, don't worry or doubt inmo, nyoze, thusness, things as they are. Don't doubt that. But I think we do doubt that. We really doubt that. Sometimes it's hard to feel that, right? I mean, intellectually we can understand that, because I think it's quite logical. But then there's the question of, well, how do I respond to that? How do I feel that? How do I enact that? And, of course, that's our practice, right? In each moment, how do we do that? So it's hard to think about ourselves. We say, you know, this very body is Buddha, this very mind is Buddha. Or we sit on the cushion and somebody says, well, you know, when you're sitting Zazen, you are Buddha, but you're always Buddha. And then you say, well, I don't feel like Buddha. I don't feel like Buddha. If I'm a Buddha, how do Buddhas act? What do Buddhas do? And if I really believed I was a Buddha, would I become an insufferable narcissist? Would I? Or if I don't have a self, if I have no inherently existing self, if I'm only things as they are, if I'm only impermanence, then who am I? Who will I be? What am I now? Am I real? Am I going to fall into some kind of narcissist, some kind of nihilism in which life has no meaning? Is there no there there? So how can I live my life, really live this life, coming to grips with a no inherently existing self, which is in a constant state of birth, death, rebecoming, and dissolving? And most of the time, by the way, we just don't go there. Most of the time, we're like, me, I'm solid, I'm here, I'm feeling whatever I feel, I'm thinking whatever I'm thinking. But of course, when we think about that, we realize that what we were thinking about 2 seconds ago is not what we're thinking about now. That's one of the things about Zazen, right? You're sitting Zazen. Can you tell me what you were thinking about at the beginning of the period of Zazen this morning and what you thought about when you were at the end of it and what happened in between all those thoughts? Are all those thoughts the self? Or do all those thoughts have continuity? I mean, yes and no, right? I don't know about you, but I'm like over here, over here, over here, over here, back over here, back over there. Nothing. Sometimes nothing. Sometimes just, you know. But this way that if I pay attention, it's really clear to me that my whole life is this constant state of impermanence, things arising and falling, birth and death, re-becoming and dissolving. So do I have to worry about this? Is this something I need to worry about? And if I don't worry about all of these things, am I going to stop being a Buddha? I mean, you know, this is pretty heavy stuff. So, I think, you know, what is Buddha? What do we think being Buddha is? And usually we have this pretty idealistic idea about what that is and what we're supposed to live up to. So, I think for most of us, it seems really apparent that our actions are sometimes, often, fall short of our idea of what this awakened mind is. and we're not sure how to live with our own, live with that, and live with the impermanence of our world and the impermanence of the self. So, actually, maybe all this worrying about practice, am I doing it right? Am I being a Buddha? Did I say something wrong? Am I being to this, to that? Maybe all that worrying actually separates us from actually living our life with all beings. So I would say that part of this practice is finding this balance between our effort, between forgetting the self and forgiving the self and others. So how do we dance with reality as just this? Reality's functioning. So, we are impermanent. All things are impermanent. They and we are in a constant flux, constantly changing. So what we understand the self to be is impermanent. And at the same time, there is stability in that self. So that isn't to say that we lack a selfhood. So everything we can name and all the things we can't name or we can't see, all of these things have a kind of selfhood. This computer has a kind of selfhood. The podium. I'm naming what we refer to as insentient, although in our Buddhist teaching, in the Mahayana, all things are sentient. So all of these things have a sentience. They are a selfhood. They are particularities, and they are interbeing, interacting, inter-essencing, if you will, with all of reality and with ourselves, with other selfhoods. And out of this comes causal relationships. This is cause and effect. It's birth, death, rebirth, transformation. It's realization, and it is delusion. And this is suchness. It is things as they are manifesting and falling away, but always continuously practicing with each other, continuously practicing as each other, for each other, by each other, and supporting that becoming of everything, reality's functioning through this support. So it is this practice. What we're talking about, this practicing with impermanence, this practicing with being without a doubt, this practicing with inmo, with suchness, this is impermanence, and it is that transformation. So it is this transformation, as in transformation itself, which manifests as just this. Just this moment, just this world's manifestation unfolding as a multi-continuous interbeing, which is life, death, birth, over and over and over again in all of its forms. And this is especially true when we apply this teaching to our individual personal experiences, which is mostly what we do, right? That's where it hits home. Our individual personal experience. So the abstract gives us a map. The abstract gives us a view, this practice, about what we're up to. But then there is walk the map. You can use, Google Maps all you want to get from here to there, but you still have to physically get from here to there. The map can't do it for you. And all the things that happen in between after you hit that go button, right? The parts where you hit the go button and it says, pull out of your driveway, turn left, turn right onto this street or that street. Or it says, what does it say? Something like, proceed to the route, as you're making some detour because something's happening and the little machine's going, proceed to the route. So these personal experiences that we're having in our life as we're practicing, all of these are our practice. And all beings, including ourselves, are what Dogen's calling the implements of this holograph of particularity as fluid and flowing impermanence. This is the implements, where the implements with all being of a holograph of particularity as flowing and fluid impermanence. So, how we work with this, how we deal with this impermanence, how we understand this, how we manifest this, is to be able to fully engage each moment's request, to fully engage in our life in each moment. And the only way that we can do this is to calm down, to still our minds, and be each moment of our lives. And I would say this is one of the functions, if you will, of Zazen, formal Zazen. But this is also our life as Zazen. Life is Zazen. This is Zazen doing Zazen. So knowing this, living this, and functioning from this place, the more we're able to do it, this is Nirvana. Nirvana is not outside this life that you are living. So I want to remind you that Dogen began Genjo Koan. In Genjo Koan, the first lines are, as all things are Buddha Dharma. So he's saying, talking now about Buddha Dharma as in the teachings, he says, as all things are Buddha Dharma, there are delusion, realization, practice, birth, life, death, Buddhas, and sentient beings. That's how we talk about this. This is how we understand this. This is how we investigate this. Then he says, as myriad things are without abiding self, this is this no inherently existing self, there is, and I'm going to add this in here, no inherently existing delusion, no inherently existing realization, no inherently existing Buddha, no inherently existing sentient beings, no inherently existing birth, and no inherently existing death. The Buddha way, in essence, is leaping clear of abundance and lack. Thus, there are birth and death, delusion and realization, sentient beings and Buddha. And then finally, he ends it with this line that I love very much. Yet, in attachment, blossoms fall, and in aversion, weeds spread. In attachment, blossoms fall, and in aversion, weeds spread. So, everything is included here. In Nirvana, everything is included in this, in our life. And this is the most important inclusion, I think, when he says that this Bodhi wisdom or the Buddha Dharma of just this includes attachment and aversion. Both of these things are included. It includes suffering. Suffering. This is the crux of our suffering. Our suffering, or how we define happiness, is about feeling that we're getting what we want and having aversion to getting what we don't want. We are attached to getting enlightened, and we are attached to ending suffering because we think that by doing this, we're going to be happy all the time. Somehow, we're just going to be happy 24/7. So the trick, if you will, about this is to include, this is what is being said here about this teaching, include the suffering. Do not reject the suffering. If we reject suffering, which is essentially our response to impermanence, if we reject suffering, we are rejecting our life. We are rejecting our life. So that's why Dogen says include the suffering. Suffering is part of Nirvana. This is a characteristic of suchness. There is impermanence. There is no self, there is suffering, and Nirvana. So all this is part of Inmo. It is suchness, and it is, oh, why worry about such a thing? Why worry about such a thing? If we include our aversion, and we include our attachments, then we can become freed from our aversion and our attachments. That is where our freedom is. These aversions and attachments are not something outside of nirvana. Why worry about such a thing? Spending our energy rejecting aversion and attachments, that's not helpful. So that's not what this teaching is. Being curious to include suffering and not being pushed around by our desires is helpful. So in Soji, which we recite on Wednesday morning, Dogen wrote, "Just understand that birth and death is itself nirvana." That's pretty radical. Just understand that birth and death is itself nirvana. There is nothing such as birth and death to be avoided. There is nothing such as nirvana to be sought. Only when you realize this are you free from birth and death. So, in a way, he's saying the very things as practitioners that we get caught on, he's saying, nah, don't get caught there. Don't avoid birth and death. Don't look for nirvana. Only when you realize this are you free from birth and death. You're free from these conceptions, misconceptions that you have about what these things are. So if you understand this to mean I should ignore my feelings, this is not what Dogen's talking about. He's saying, don't try to bury, ignore, push away, avert from your feelings of loss, grief, anger, greed, whatever it is. Just accept these desires and feelings as being about our life as Buddhas. This is about our life as Buddha. We include that there is suffering. And we include that it comes from our aversion that we have and our attachments that we have and how we view impermanence. So the problem with suffering from a Buddhist perspective is when we try to avoid a situation or get attached to a situation in which our suffering through that aversion or attachment creates delusion. And what is delusion? Delusion is forgetting, ignoring, or violating the truth of our interbeing with each other and all beings. And that results in selfishness and harmful actions. When our suffering takes us to a place of selfishness, harmful actions towards self or others, right? Then that's delusion. So delusion is forgetting gratitude. In delusion, we forget compassion. We forget empathy. We forget connection. We forget that our consciousness, our very isness, is a gift. And that's the basis of gratitude. I just ran across this. I really love what I'm about to say next. I ran across this in a book I was reading. Okay, so the Japanese for thank you is arigato. Probably many of you heard this, arigato. The origin of arigato is a Buddhist term, which is arigata shi. And arigata shi means something is rare to happen, that it rarely happens. And what is this thing that rarely happens? Our human life. Our human life. So from the perspective of the Buddhist theology, if you will, about rebirth, is that it is very rare to be reborn as a human being for various reasons. It's a good thing. Because it is, according to Buddhist theology, the only rebirth in which one can awaken because of the kind of consciousness and lifespan that we have. But what I love about being human and this precious life is that I can be conscious of this life, conscious of this self, conscious of this idea that I have anyway, is that the reason the world is beautiful to me is because I am this world. Because we are this world. And so when we walk out, I've just been reading a book where a guy's talking about autumn, which is something we actually don't have a lot of here in our climate. But the way that autumn makes you feel, the way that you, when you go out and see a blue sky, or when there's thunder and the clouds are dark, all of those things that happen are human relationships, or petting our dogs, all the things, even the things we don't like. My next door neighbor who has seagulls giving birth to their children on her roof, which I have to tell you is quite noisy. And all the aversion that I feel to that, and all the feelings of why can't I practice with this? Because all I feel at this moment is aversion. This way in which all these opportunities, if you will, that are being offered to us, this beauty, this consciousness of this human life is precious. And yet, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's like one hair falling out of the head of Gaia, right? It is just a snap in time. But our human life, this human life, the preciousness of this human life includes suffering, because that is part of this impermanence. So we have to accept suffering as part of our lives. It is, since you are such a person, why worry about such a thing? Don't be too hard on yourself. Please explore this teaching. It's a koan for us. It's a beautiful question that we're being offered. It is nyoze. It is something that we may want to doubt, but we should not doubt. So let's keep looking at our lives with curiosity and compassion. Don't doubt this wisdom. Let go of having aversion to our aversion. So this is what it is to be human, and it is also what, in part, constitutes nirvana. Don't worry about worry. So I'm getting very close to my lecture, and I want to offer to you a thought that we were given by the wonderful Bobby McFerrin. And you may remember this song. Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. So, don't worry. Don't worry about not worrying. Just meet each moment's offering, because you really, you know, we really don't have a choice. You might not be happy in that moment or this moment, but if we can find equanimity in accepting the suffering that we do experience, that suffering is transformed. So please accept your suffering. Because by accepting impermanence, that all the things you like are impermanent, and all the bad things that you don't like are also impermanent, your relationship to suffering will be transformed. It won't disappear. Suffering is not going to disappear. But suffering will become no inherently existing suffering. No inherently existing suffering is what it will become. You and all beings are the stuff of Buddhas. We are all the stuff of Buddhas. And so that includes everything. This implements a reality of things just as they are. So I would say, don't worry about such a thing. It is without a doubt. Thank you very much.